As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Dad, good morning. Here it is. The day is upon us. It is draft day.
We made it. Let the excitement begin and let these next 48 hours be a fun ride for everybody on the roller coaster.
What do you expect? Is it going to be wild? And what do you make of the afternoon reports that the Bears are looking to move up for, well, we can think it's Ashton Jeanty. We can think it's Mason Graham. We don't really know. But what do you make of the reports from yesterday?
Yeah, we tell these jokes every year on draft weekend that the Bears might move up, they might move down, or they might stay at 10, right? So all those things are on the table right now. I do think, David, that they are shopping, right, and figuring out what a trade-up would cost, what it would look like. You have a team that doesn't necessarily feel that it's got the glaring roster holes that a lot of 12-loss football teams have, and so that gives them a little bit of flexibility. It gives them the chance to be aggressive if so desired and figure out what the price tag would be for trying to go get one of these elite players that might be on the board.
I still don't think they're a player away, Dan. I don't know if you feel differently. If there is
definitely
one
not.
Guy – yeah. That's my problem with the idea of giving up anything. I also feel like they have an advantage, which is the top of the second round. I don't want them to mess with that. I don't like the idea of what it might cost to move up.
So I'm with you 96% with those sentiments. If you were giving up your three to move up, would
right.
you be better with that? If you kept 39 and 41 and then you moved up to say 7 or 8 and played a little bit around with the day 3 capital to make that trade work.
The boogeyman round, the one
yes,
where the general manager is challenged.
That's okay.
Get rid of that
us.
One, right? Like,
but Dan, you make a really here. Interesting distinction. I think the 2 second round picks, we view them, most people view them as potential starters. The third round pick, if you're going to dangle that, it's a high third round pick. But if you're willing to give that up to move up a couple spots for a player that's going to be conviction about, yeah, I could buy that.
We talk about these blue players, right, and how many you need. Remember, Bill
yes.
Polian gave the consultant's view a couple years ago and saying you need 10 or 12 to just start dreaming about being in contention. And the Bears need to add more top tier elite players to their roster. And so if there's an avenue to do that tonight, I'm all for Ryan and Ian and whatever involvement Ben has to pursue the conversation and just figure out what that looks like. And I think we all kind of feel like the first few picks tonight are going to be locked in with Sharpie pretty quickly. And then there's about 10 different avenues that this draft could pivot down, and you just got to be ready for all of them.
Dan, you know, one of the problems that I have when we talk about the number of blues and how you put that together and what you do with it is, like, what we're saying is there is not much there are not many people that are trying to move up, so therefore
yeah.
if you move up, it'll be cheaper than it costs in most years, and you can throw out the draft chart that Jimmy made because it no longer applies. It has to do with kind of need and how many people are going to give you anything, and if you want to move down, you're going to have to accept this. That's all fine and well, and I
sure.
have no problem with that. I just wonder, you know, the Bears give away a lot of later draft picks. And I'm not maybe giveaway is the wrong idea. They trade away a lot of draft picks. They do it for, you know, various offensive linemen that have played or haven't played, for various, for depth at a pass rush or whatever it might be. There's tons of fifth and sixth round picks that seem to have been moved over the years and constantly moved. And I'm not saying that that's a bad idea, because you need to be able to replenish your team. But I don't know how many picks they actually need if they're not Blues, right? And that's why I don't worry about the third round pick. But as David right. pointed out, part of that is because they don't do well in that round. And that's why you should do better.
And you feel scarred by it.
Yes.
No question. And so, look, you bring up a good point, because where is their fourth round pick for this year? Well, they used it last year to draft Austin Booker a year early. That's and right. they moved back into the end of last year's draft. The sixth round pick for this year, that was traded last August for Daryl Taylor, who came in and got you, what, 2.5 sacks in his 1 year with the Bears. And so those picks are out the window. You traded away a pick for Ryan Bates a little bit ago as well. That's not in this year's draft, but it's an example of what you're talking about. And so you've got to figure out how to maneuver this particular draft. And with one of the points you make, there's this idea that this draft is really deep through like 80, 85 prospects on the board. And so that's why some of these teams that are really bad in the top 5, 6, 7, 8 want to add selections, because they think that if you can add 72 from the Bears, now all of a sudden you've got a chance to add more to your roster that you deemed is more needy than the Bears deem theirs to be. So it's going to be fascinating to watch this all unfold. I always love Saturday night of the draft, because you start to get a little bit more clarity from the decision makers about how they made their decisions. And then in the weeks ahead, you'll get an idea of what they thought of certain prospects and certain parts of the board that helped them come to the decisions that they came to.
Where are you on running back Ashton Jeanty, and how much of the Bears' interest in him is real and perceived?
Yeah, I mean, look, like when you're talking blue players, there seems to be a consensus around the league that this is a blue player, that this is a guy that 6 or 7 years from now we'll all say, yeah, he's a undeniable star in the NFL. Like, he's got the potential to be one of these guys that is an every year difference maker, every week difference maker. And so the idea of bringing him into your offensive huddle to make life easier on Caleb Williams, to make life more fun for Ben Johnson, is certainly there on the table. And I would think that they've done their homework. They figured out what everybody in that room feels about him. And now you just have to decide what the cost is to go get him. And that's the other part about this draft is, there's some sentiments that it's so unpredictable that some of these guys that you're eager to trade up for might actually still be there for you at 10. Jeanty's one that I don't think will be there at 10, but there's plenty of scenarios where he is, And so you've got to play that game and figure out what your patience level is. And then if you do miss on a guy like that, what are options B, C, and D? And they seem to be pretty plentiful in this draft the way the board breaks.
We know the names, Dan. We know who the star players, with air quotes, are at various positions. But is this a year where there is more, there's more argument within the position groups about who those players are? In other words, is this a slotted draft? Do you feel like, okay, here we're going here, there, maybe him or her, whatever. I don't know how that would work out in terms of you having a specifically different idea than other teams do.
I think that's where it's wide open. Like, tight end's a position where you're almost split on is it Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland that's the better prospect in this class. The edge rushing class, once you get beyond Carter and Jalen Walker, there's a group of about 5 or 6 guys that are just kind of a pick your flavor, and they're all filled with gamble, right? Like, there's a dice roll that has to be made there. Offensive tackle is one where you have to decide what traits mean the most to you, and so you've got this. And one of those traits is, do you play on the left side or the right side, right? And we heard Ryan Poles the other day leave the door open for the idea of Darnell Wright potentially, auditioning at the left tackle position if they find something on the right side that suits them. And so, I do think it's wide open from a position-by-position basis. I did asked Daniel Jeremiah a question last week about kind of the Bears' MO and how they should navigate this. And he said he would be really, really hesitant to wait until day two to take an offensive tackle if you are hellbent on adding another starting offensive tackle in this draft. And so that's something to keep in mind tonight.
We don't talk about it a lot, Dan, but if it does get as wild as Ryan Poles suggested, I wonder if that includes trading with other teams and for players who are veterans. I wonder about Travis Etienne in Jacksonville if they go and draft Ashton Jeanty. I wonder about what the Bengals are going to do with Trey Hendrickson, because we still haven't had much resolution to that rumor. And I just wonder if you're hearing anything along those lines and if you would be surprised if the Bears went in that direction.
Yeah, I don't have any sizable chatter in that department. Not sure what would happen in that regard. I think, you know, that will all remain to be seen, and this draft board will evolve in a way that maybe brings some things into play. Jacksonville has seemed like a wild card for a while in this draft. You got a very, very young first-time general manager, a young first-time head coach, and they're jumping into these waters for the first time. And so I think a lot of people are eager to see what exactly they're going to do, and that could be a pivot point tonight, you know, somewhere around 7:45, where this whole draft turns in a direction that we might not have expected it to.
Dan, we talked a little bit, and we asked Big Z his take on the whole issue with left tackle with Kieran Amagaji. You know, here was a guy who was a third-round pick a year ago. You would think that this would be the year where he started to make a move. You know, we don't have a lot to base it on because he didn't have a camp, and then the moment you saw him, it was kind of subpar, and we only saw him the one time. And do you have any idea where he is at in terms of his injury, his workout regimen, if he's ready to make any kind of impact? That's a high draft pick, a third-round pick. Are they going to get anything out of him? Do we have to wait till the pads come on? What is your take on him?
Yeah, and that's the thing. As you guys know, with offensive line evaluations, you can do a ton of stuff to teach and grow during the spring. But it's not until those pads come on in August that you really start to understand what you have in a guy. And it looks like that's why the idea of kind of leaning into either Braxton Jones or Kieran Amagaji starting at left tackle for you when the regular season starts is risky, because Braxton Jones is coming back from a pretty serious season-ending injury that even his new offensive line coach said, hey, like, don't understate the climb that's going to be just to rehab that thing in the proper way. And so you have to address the tackle position in this draft. And Amagaji he just hasn't shown you anything because of the health issues to give you, you know, the relaxation and comfort you need to put your head on the pillow saying, okay, he's definitely our starting left tackle in front of our, you know, franchise quarterback that we want to be a star for the next 20 years.
All right, Dan, before we let you go, what's your pick? What do you predict? Who are they taking at number 10 if they stay there?
Wonderful option of 12 players on our big board at ChicagoTribune.com this morning that John Hammond and I worked on. I'm going to go with Calvin Banks Jr. for you. And wow. It's not the sexy pick. It's not the one that everyone's going to celebrate tonight. But I do think with the discussion we just had about fortifying your offensive line, that's a guy that will be very, very steady and comes to the organization with a lot to offer, both from a skills standpoint and a character standpoint. So I'm going to go there for now with the understanding that this is just a blind guess.
Good stuff, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, great. Dan.
All right, guys. Enjoy the night.
You too.
Yes. Have a good night for sure. That is fun stuff.
Kelvin Banks.
Yeah.